everybody, and welcome to another episode of Magic with Zuby. My name is Zuby, and if you're brand new to this show, the show's all about a little well-known card game called Magic the Gathering, and maybe possibly a little bit more. So on today's episode, we are going over the top five rares of Outlaws of Thunder Junction, and it's more like my favorite top five rares of Outlaws of Thunder Junction, which is the Wild West set of Magic the Gathering. So before we get into that, just a little bit of news there. We are sponsored by Walrus Game Studio. And if you didn't know, my first book, Darkstorm Adventures, Silver Flames Legacy, Escape to Stangate, is officially out. We are working on trying to get it available up on Barnes & Noble as well. It's available on DriveThruRPG digitally and physically. Barnes & Noble will just have it available physically. We couldn't get on Amazon as of right now. We're still kind of working that out. More to come, you know, later on that. But as of right now, we're going to be on Barnes & Noble soon. And then we are on DriveThruRPG right now. And book two is well underway as well. And also our video game that's coming out, Network Engineer Simulator, which has officially cracked the threshold of over 10,000 wish lists, which blows me away. And we're hoping very soon to get the demo out. We're really trying to push to get the demo out before Cisco Live in June, which is happening. Oh my gosh, it's already May. Holy crap. Yeah, this year is pretty much over already. I mean, might as well just pack it in the bag for 2024. Am I right? So, yeah, we are super excited about the game. We've got our first book out. It's already sold a bunch of copies, which blows me away, to be honest. And then, yeah, we've got so much more that we're excited to show you all. You know, we've got other projects in the pipeline, more TTRPG stuff. We've got, you know, other video game ideas that we're starting to cook up. We're collaborating with, you know, musicians to get the music for Network Sim. We're working with other artists to get, you know, to bring the art alive for Network Sim and for our TTRPG space as well too. So it's weird. It's like it's happening, you know, like holy crap. But anyways, so we're here to get on with the main show here of talking about our top five rares of Outlaws of Thunder Junction. And we're going to start this off, and this is in no particular order. We're going to start this off with Calamity Galloping Inferno. Calamity Galloping Inferno is a 4 double red horse mount legendary creature. So this could be your commander if you wanted it to be. You know, your commander that you allow other creatures to ride. No connotations there at all or anything like that. It is a 4/6 with haste. When this attacks while saddled, meaning saddled, remember, is like the mount mechanic, choose a non-legendary creature that saddled it this turn and create a tapped and attacking token that's a copy of it. Sacrifice that token at the beginning of the next end step. Repeat this process once, and it's saddle one. I like this because, I mean, not only could you do crazy shenanigans with this, you know, with ETB effects and whatever other token effects out there, you know, hey, let's create double tokens, let's, you know, do double damage, whatever the heck out there that people are going to come up with this. I loved it. And plus the saddle feature, we need more of that. The saddle feature is fun. And plus, I mean, the art of it is just badass. I love fiery flaming horses, especially, you know, like the nightmares. Those are always awesome. Great artwork, great card, and it looks a lot of fun. I mean, I don't know if I would probably use this as my commander, like build a commander deck around it because of the cost of it. It's 6 mana, which is pretty expensive. But, you know, there's always ways to get out easy, fast mana. So, yeah, that's Calamity Galloping Inferno. Next, we've got, I'm going to butcher this name so bad. Erette? E-R-I-E-T-T-E. Irite? Irite. That's probably not how you say it at all. Erette, the Beguiler. For one white, blue, and black, it is a legendary creature human warlock. It is a 4/4 with lifelink. Whenever an aura you control becomes attached to a non-land permanent an opponent controls with mana value less than or equal to that aura's mana value, gain control of that permanent for as long as that aura is attached to it. Your dreams and mine will soon align. So, back in the day, I used to have a Nicol Bolas Thief deck where basically, and it was only a deck you could only play in person. Like, if you tried to play it, you could play it on Magic Online, right? But if you tried to play it over Spell Table, it would be a pain in the butt because essentially the whole idea of the deck was your decks are my decks now. I'm just going to take everything from your decks. I mean, it wasn't very good, but it could be fun, right? Especially trying to disrupt some people's, you know, plans. So, but this is sort of like the Esper version of a Thief deck. Where Nicol Bolas was Grixis for being blue, black, and red. This is white, blue, black. I kind of like this because you could just, you know, make it an aura thief deck. And of course, there's always great aura cards out there that you could easily, for cheap, be like, hey, I'm going to enchant your creature to give it flying, but oh no, now it's mine. And whenever an aura you control becomes attached to a non-land permanent an opponent controls with mana value less than or equal to that aura's mana value, gain control of that permanent. So it's not just creatures you can steal. I mean, hey, you can steal their artifacts, their enchantments, whatever the heck else. I mean, I like it. And of course, I love the flavor text. Your dreams and mine will soon align. Ooh, it's like, I'm just going to steal everything from you. And the art, too, where it looks like she's using some sort of crystal ball to, I don't know, whether to put these people to sleep or she's stealing their dreams or something like that. I mean, it's kind of, you know, a little scary there, right? Am I right? Like, that'd be a bit scary. Anyways... that is, oh my god, I cannot say this name, Irette or Irite, like Erie, Irite, maybe it's Irite, you know, like Erie, like Erie, Irite, I don't know, how do you say it? I'm probably completely butchering it. Anyways, let's go on to the next one. We've got Cambal, Profiting Mayor. For one white and a black, it is a 2/4, it is a legendary creature human advisor, as you can see. There's kind of a theme here. They're all legendary creatures. But I really like this one because I loved the first Cambal from Kaladesh. Or was it Aether Revolt? The Kaladesh set, right? I can't remember off the top of my head if it was Kaladesh or Aether Revolt. But I've played against some Cambal decks that were just a bit insane. So I was glad to see Cambal come back. Or Cambal, or however you fucking say his name. I'm horrible at this, okay? Whenever one or more tokens enter the battlefield under your opponent's control, for each of them, create a tapped token that's a copy of it. This ability triggers only once each turn. Whenever one or more tokens enter the battlefield under your control, each opponent loses one life and you gain one life. So I really like this because you're playing against someone who's playing a token deck. Like, I've got my Maha token deck, or a Reese the Redeemed token deck, or I mean, there's so many other brands of token decks out there, and you're like, well, my combo Profiting Mayor is a token deck now too, so ha. I mean, otherwise I don't see this card being very good unless you're playing against a token deck, right? Otherwise it's just like, may kind of not do much for you if you're not playing against a token deck. But otherwise, I mean, it's a fun like little kind of niche card, you know. Hey, maybe you bring out Cambal in round two of, oh no, this guy is playing crazy token deck, and you know, to try to thwart them in the second game, I'm gonna bring out Cambal. God, these names, they just screw me up way too much. Next, we have, this is one of my personal favorites here. Like, if I did rank these from, you know, 1 to 5, this would be number one here. And that's Obeka, Splitter of Seconds. For 1 blue, black, and red, it is a legendary creature, Ogre Warlock, that's a 2/5 with menace. Whenever Obeka deals combat damage to a player, you get that many additional upkeep steps after this phase. You're living on borrowed time is the flavor text. So when I first saw this, I'm like, okay, that seems interesting. It's different. It's, you know, because I feel like Grixis just never really fascinated me that much in a commander, because it was either half the time you'd either see Nekusar or Jalava or some Nicol Bolas variant for the most part. But seeing Obeka here, I didn't really want to build a deck around her until I played against Obeka on Magic Online and I saw all the crazy shenanigans it can do. I'm like, I love this. I'm in love. And look, it's my kitty. Hello, kitty. You've come to say hello to the people. If you're watching the video, that is. If you're not watching the video and just listening to me on audio, you're probably like, why are you talking about a cat? That's because my cat just decided to come into frame here. But anyways, Obeka, Splitter of Seconds. Just think of any kind of card, enchantment, artifact that has upkeep triggers. You're going to want to put it in this deck. And it's just so much fun. And there's plenty of ways to make Obeka unblockable. You've got lands that do it. You've got auras that do it. You've got creatures that can do it. I saw the... oh my gosh, what is the one artifact creature that I'm going to completely forget the name here. It's the no more than one creature can attack each turn and no more than one creature can block each turn. And they played that in this deck. And since this card has menace, it's basically another way to make it unblockable as well too, which I just loved it. I loved it. I mean, we completely lost the match when I was playing it and I didn't care. It was just so much fun and I need to build a deck around it. This is my favorite rare of Outlaws of Thunder Junction, and for good reason, because it's fun. It's fun, it's unique, and it's different. It's something different than the basic, you know, combat stuff and token generators and whatever the heck else out there. All right, so we come to our last card here, and it's last but certainly not least. It is Fibblethip, Lost on the Range, for 1 double blue. It is a homunculus legendary creature. It's a 1/1 with ward 2. You may look at the top card of your library anytime. The top card of your library has plot. You plotting on me, boy? The plot cost is equal to its mana cost. And if you remember what plot is, you pay... what is it? So for this one... yeah, never mind. The plot cost is equal to its mana cost. So let's say you have a card that costs 3 mana. You can plot it for 3, and then you play it on the next turn for free, but only as a sorcery. And then you may plot non-land cards from the top of your library. I like it because it could be a fun card, like, just keep plotting. I don't know if I'd probably build this as a commander, per se, but it's fun. It's a fun card, and, I mean, it's Fibblethip. How can you not love Fibblethip? And this art of Fibblethip probably might be my favorite because he looks more cute compared to other arts of him where he's, like, he looks taller, more gangly. And how can you not love Magic the Gathering's own mascot, Fibblethip, there? So there you have it, everybody. That is my top 5 rares of Outlaws of Thunder Junction. I hope you all enjoyed listening and or watching this episode of Magic with Zuby, and I hope you all have a great day.